Good time to screw up? When he's reading the paper. Bad time to screw up? When he's laying bricks. Mom has a totally different style when it comes to punishment. If you mess up and Mom catches you, the first thing she does is to take a few days to figure out what your punishment should be. And while you're waiting, you do all these nice things to try to get off easier. But then after a few days, right when you forget you're in trouble, that's when she lays it on you. No video games for a week. Monday. This video game ban is a whole lot tougher than I thought it would be. But at least I'm not the only one in the family who's in trouble. Roderick's in some hot water with Mom right now, too. Manny got a hold of one of Roderick's heavy metal magazines, and one of the pages had a picture of a woman in a bikini lying across the hood of a car. And then, Manny brought it into daycare for show and tell. Anyway, I don't think Mom was too happy about getting that phone call. I saw the magazine myself, but it honestly wasn't anything to get worked up over. But Mom doesn't allow that kind of stuff in the house. Roderick's punishment was that he had to answer a bunch of questions Mom wrote out for him. Did owning this magazine make you a better person?
No.
Did it make you more popular at school?
No.
How do you feel about having owned this type of magazine now?
I feel ashamed.
Do you have anything you want to say to women for having owned this offensive magazine?
I'm sorry, women.
Wednesday. I'm still grounded from playing video games, so Manny has been using my system. Mom went out and bought a whole bunch of educational video games, and watching Manny play them is like torture. The good news is that I finally figured out how to get some of my games past Rowley's dad. I just put one of my discs in Manny's Discovering the Alphabet case, and that's all it takes. Thursday. At school today, they announced that student government elections are coming up. To be honest with you, I've never had any interest in student government, but when I started thinking about it, I realized getting elected treasurer could totally change my situation at school. Nobody ever thinks about running for treasurer, because all anyone ever cares about are the big-ticket positions, like president and vice president. So I figure if I sign up tomorrow, the treasurer job is pretty much mine for the taking. Friday. Today I went and put my name on the list to run for treasurer. Unfortunately, this kid named Marty Porter is running for treasurer too, and he's real brainy at math, so this might not be as easy as I thought. I told Dad that I was running for student government, and he seemed pretty excited. It turns out he ran for student government when he was my age, and he actually won. Dad dug through some old boxes in the basement and found one of his campaign posters. I thought the poster idea was pretty good, so I asked Dad to drive me to the store to get some supplies. I loaded up on poster board and markers, and I spent the rest of the night making all my campaign stuff. So let's just hope these posters work. Monday. I brought my posters into school today, and I have to say, they came out pretty good. One said, "Do you want Marty Porter to be your treasurer?" with a cartoon that showed him carrying a bag of money with a hole in it. "Hey, you're dropping all our money, you fool." Another said, "Remember in second grade how Marty Porter had head lice? Itch, itch. Do you really want him touching your money?" I started hanging my posters up as soon as I got in, but they were only up for about 3 minutes before Vice Principal Roy spotted them. Mr. Roy said you weren't allowed to write fabrications about the other candidates, so I told Mr. Roy that the thing about the head lice was true and how it practically closed down the whole school when it happened. But he took down all my posters anyway. So today, Marty Porter was going around handing out lollipops to buy himself votes while my posters were sitting at the bottom of Mr. Roy's trash can. I guess this means my political career is officially over. October. Monday. Well, it's finally October, and there are only 30 days left until Halloween. Halloween is my favorite holiday, even though Mom says I'm getting too old to go trick-or-treating anymore. Halloween is Dad's favorite holiday, too, but for a different reason. On Halloween night, while all the other parents are handing out candy, Dad is hiding in the bushes with a big trash can full of water. And if any teenagers pass by our driveway, he drenches them. I'm not sure Dad really understands the concept of Halloween, but I'm not going to be the one who spoils his fun. Tonight was the opening night of the Crossland High School haunted house, and I got Mom to agree to take me and Rowley. Rowley showed up at my house wearing his Halloween costume from last year. When I called him earlier, I told him to just wear regular clothes, but of course he didn't listen. I tried not to let it bother me too much, though. I've never been allowed to go to the Crossland haunted house before, and I wasn't going to let Rowley ruin it for me. Roderick has told me all about it, and I've been looking forward to this for about 3 years. Anyway, when we got to the entrance, I started having second thoughts about going in. But Mom seemed like she was in a hurry to get this over with, and she moved us along. Once we were through the gate, it was one scare after another. There were vampires jumping out at you, and people without heads, and all sorts of crazy stuff. But the worst part was this area called Chainsaw Alley. There was this big guy in a hockey mask, and he had a real chainsaw. Roderick told me the chainsaw had a rubber blade, but I wasn't taking any chances. I ran. Right when it looked like the chainsaw guy was going to catch us, Mom stepped in and bailed us out. She said, "That's not nice." And he mumbled,
"I'm sorry, ma'am."
Mom made the chainsaw guy show us where the exit was, and that was the end of our haunted house experience right there. I guess it was a little embarrassing when Mom did that, but I'm willing to let it go this one time. Saturday. The Crossland haunted house really got me thinking. Those guys were charging $5 a pop, and the line stretched halfway around the school. I decided to make a haunted house of my own. Actually, I had to bring Rowley in on the deal, because Mom wouldn't let me convert our first floor into a full-out haunted mansion. I knew Rowley's dad wouldn't be crazy about the idea either, so we decided to build the haunted house in his basement and just not mention it to his parents. Me and Rowley spent most of the day coming up with an awesome plan for our haunted house. Here was our final plan. A hall of screams, a lake of blood, a bottomless pit, a rat tunnel, a maze of 1,000 skulls, a knife alley, a severed hand hall, and last, a death slide into an acid lake. I don't mean to brag or anything, but what we came up with was way better than the Crossland High School haunted house. We realized we were going to need to get the word out that we were doing this thing, so we got some paper and made up a bunch of flyers. Haunted house with live sharks. I'll admit, maybe we stretched the truth a little in our advertisement, but we had to make sure people actually showed up. By the time we finished putting the flyers up around the neighborhood and got back to Rowley's basement, it was already 2:30, and we hadn't even started putting the actual haunted house together yet. So we had to cut some corners from our original plan. When 3 o'clock rolled around, we looked outside to see if anyone had showed up, and sure enough, there were about 20 neighborhood kids waiting in line outside Rowley's basement. Now, I know our flyer said admission was 50 cents, but I could see that we had a chance to make a killing here. So I told the kids that admission was $2, and the 50-cent thing was just a typo. The first kid to cough up his $2 was Shane Snella. He paid his money, and we let him inside, and me and Rowley took our positions in the Hall of Screams. The Hall of Screams was basically a bed with me and Rowley on either side of it. I guess maybe we made the Hall of Screams a little too scary, because halfway through, Shane curled up in a ball underneath the bed. We tried to get him to crawl out from under there, but he wouldn't budge. I started thinking about all the money we were losing with this kid clogging up the Hall of Screams, and I knew we had to get him out of there quick. Eventually, Rowley's dad came downstairs. At first, I was happy to see him, because I thought he could help us drag Shane out from under the bed and get our haunted house cranking again. But Rowley's dad wasn't really in a helpful mood. Rowley's dad wanted to know what we were doing and why Shane Snella was curled up under the bed. We told him that the basement was a haunted house and that Shane Snella actually paid for us to do this to him. But Rowley's dad didn't believe us. I admit that if you looked around, it didn't really look like a haunted house. All we had time to put together was the Hall of Screams and the Lake of Blood, which was just Rowley's old baby pool with half a bottle of ketchup in it. I tried to show Rowley's dad our original plan to prove that we really were running a legitimate operation, but he still didn't seem convinced. And to make a long story short, that was the end of our haunted house. The good news is, since Rowley's dad didn't believe us, he didn't make us refund Shane's money. So at least we cleared $2 today. Sunday. Rowley ended up getting grounded for that whole haunted house mess yesterday. He's not allowed to watch TV for a week, and he's not allowed to have me over at his house during that time. That last part really isn't fair, because that's punishing me, and I didn't even do anything wrong. And now where am I supposed to play my video games? Anyway, I felt kind of bad for Rowley, so tonight I tried to make it up to him. I turned on one of Rowley's favorite TV shows, and I did a play-by-play over the phone so he could kind of experience it that way. I did my best to keep up with what was going on the screen, but to be honest with you, I'm not sure if Rowley was getting the full effect. Tuesday. Well, Rowley's grounding is finally over, and just in time for Halloween, too. I went up to his house to check out his costume, and I have to admit, I'm a little jealous. Rowley's mom got him this night costume that's way cooler than his costume from last year. His night outfit came with a helmet and a shield and a real sword and everything. I've never had a store-bought costume before. I still haven't figured out what I'm going to go as tomorrow night, so I'll probably just throw something together at the last minute. I figure maybe I'll bring back the toilet paper mummy again. But I think it's supposed to rain tomorrow night, so that might not be the smartest choice. In the past few years, the grown-ups in my neighborhood have been getting cranky about my lame costumes, and I'm starting to think it's actually having an effect on the amount of candy I'm bringing in. But I don't really have time to put together a good costume, because I'm in charge of planning out the best route for me and Rowley to take tomorrow night. This year, I've come up with a plan that'll get us at least twice the candy we scored last year. Halloween. About an hour before we were supposed to start trick-or-treating, I still didn't have a costume. At that point, I was seriously thinking about going as a cowboy for the second year in a row. But then Mom knocked at my door and handed me a pirate costume, with an eye patch and a hook and everything. Rowley showed up around 6:30 wearing his night costume, but it didn't look anything like it looked yesterday. Rowley's mom made all these safety improvements to it, and you couldn't even tell what he was supposed to be anymore. She cut out a big hole in the front of the helmet so he could see better, and covered him up in all this reflective tape. She made him wear his winter coat underneath everything, and she replaced his sword with a glow stick. I grabbed my pillowcase, and me and Rowley started to head out, but Mom stopped us before we could get out the door. She said, "I want you to take Manny with you." Man, I should have known there was a catch when Mom gave me that costume. I told Mom there was no way we were taking Manny with us, because we were going to hit 152 houses in 3 hours. And plus, we were going to be on Snake Road, which is way too dangerous for a little kid like Manny. I should never have mentioned that last part, because the next thing I knew, Mom was telling Dad he had to go with us to make sure we didn't step foot outside our neighborhood. Dad tried to squirm out of it, but once Mom makes up her mind, there's no way you can change it. Before we even got out of our own driveway, we ran into our neighbor, Mr. Mitchell, and his kid, Jeremy, so of course they tagged along with us. Manny and Jeremy wouldn't trick-or-treat at any houses with spooky decorations on them, so that ruled out pretty much every house on our block. Dad and Mr. Mitchell started talking about football or something, and every time one of them wanted to make a point, they'd stop walking. So we were hitting only about one house every 20 minutes. After a couple of hours, Dad and Mr. Mitchell took the little kids home. I was glad, because that meant me and Rowley could take off. My pillowcase was almost empty, so I wanted to make up as much time as possible. A little while later, Rowley told me he needed a potty break. I made him hold off for another 45 minutes, but by the time we got to my grandma's house, it was pretty clear that if I didn't let Rowley use the bathroom, it was going to get messy. So I told Rowley if he wasn't back outside in 1 minute, I was going to start helping myself to his candy. After that, we headed back out on the road. But it was already 10:30, and I guess that's when most grown-ups decide Halloween is over. You can kind of tell, because that's when they start coming to the door in their pajamas and giving you the evil eye. We decided to head home. We made up a lot of time after Dad and Manny left, so I was pretty satisfied with how much candy we took in. When we were halfway home, this pickup truck came roaring down the street with a bunch of high school kids in it. The kid in the back was holding a fire extinguisher, and when the truck passed by us, he opened fire. I have to give Rowley credit, because he blocked about 95% of the water with his shield, and if he hadn't done that, all our candy would have gotten soaked. When the truck drove away, I yelled out something that I regretted about 2 seconds later. It was, "We're calling the cops!" The driver slammed on the brakes and he turned his truck around. Me and Rowley started running, but those guys were right on our heels. The only place I could think of that was safe was Grandma's house, so we cut through a couple backyards to get there. Grandma was in bed already, but I knew she keeps a key under the mat on her front porch. Once we got inside, I looked out the window to see if those guys had followed us, and sure enough, they did. I tried to trick them into leaving by shouting, "Well, I guess now that we're safe in our own house, you can't get us." But they wouldn't budge. After a while, we realized the teenagers were going to wait us out, so we decided we were just going to have to spend the night at Grandma's. That's when we started getting cocky, making monkey noises at the teenagers and whatnot. Well, at least I was making monkey noises. Rowley was kind of making owl noises, but I guess it was the same general idea. I called Mom to tell her we were going to crash at Grandma's for the night, but Mom sounded really mad on the phone. She said it was a school night and that we had to get home right that instant, so that meant we were going to have to make a run for it. I looked out the window, and this time I didn't see the truck, but I knew those guys were hiding somewhere and were just trying to draw us out. So we snuck out the back door, hopped over Grandma's fence, and ran all the way to Snake Road. I figured our chances were better there because there aren't any streetlights. Snake Road is scary enough on its own without having a truckload of teenagers hunting you down. Every time we saw a car coming, we dove into the bushes. It must have taken us a half hour to go 100 yards. But believe it or not, we made it all the way home without getting caught. Neither one of us let our guard down until we got to my driveway. "Ah," we sighed. But right then, there was this awful scream, and we saw a big wave of water coming toward us. Splash! Man, I forgot all about Dad, and we totally paid the price for it. When me and Rowley got inside, we laid out all our candy on the kitchen table. The only things we could salvage were a couple of mints that were wrapped in cellophane and the toothbrushes Dr. Garrison gave us. I think next Halloween I'll just stay home and mooch some Butterfingers from the bowl Mom keeps on top of the refrigerator. November. Thursday. On the bus ride into school today, we passed by Grandma's house. It got rolled with toilet paper last night, which I guess was no big surprise. I do feel a little bad, because it looked like it was going to take a long time to clean up. But on the bright side, Grandma's retired, so she probably didn't have anything planned for today anyway. Wednesday.